You're listening to Saturday Mornings with the Motts on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
It is 7:31 on this gorgeous, beautiful Saturday morning. Enjoy the days while you can.
Yes.
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon it's going to be snow on the ground, and even those days will be beautiful at times, but they won't be like this.
Well, the upside is you won't have to cut the grass.
Pretty nice. We've been talking a little bit about the horse industry, and just to put it in context, in 2012, Ontario's Liberal government pulled the plug on what was a lucrative slots at racetracks program. Now, that deal was the tracks would allow the OLG, the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation, to install slot machines in exchange for a cut of the profits. They, you know, back in the day, they were looking for a place to put slot machines. Were they going to go in corner stores? Were they going to go in restaurants? Were they going to go, like, where were they going to put these things, you know, sin taxes?
And this was a great deal. The racetrack says, yeah, we'll put them in here and we'll split the money. Win-win.
Win-win. But the McGuinty government no longer wanted to share, so they scrapped the deal. And they played up to urban voters how it was cutting the handsome subsidy. They called it a subsidy. Like, this was money that was given to the industry rather than a deal having been done, which had them sharing it, because they were giving them a place to put the slot machine. So it was this well-to-do, muckety-muck, horsey set that had more money than they knew what to do with.
Yeah, so they're not going to really hurt, and they're spending your money, which wasn't true.
So now, internal government documents and emails disclosed as part of a $65 million civil lawsuit show the government moved with callous disregard, ignoring warnings that the program's cancellation would devastate the industry. In August of 2012, former Liberal cabinet minister John Wilkinson fired off an email to then Premier McGuinty predicting the collapse of the industry with 23,000 job losses and 27,000 dead horses.
And the response was, meh.
Well, kind of. Meh. There was another email a top advisor to former Premier Dalton McGuinty wrote. Meeting with the Premier just ended. He was inclined to go to zero for horse racing. So knowing that this would, this industry could collapse, and all of the people out of work, and what do you do with these horses? All of this stuff is just coming out now as part of this lawsuit. Joining us now is Ben Wallace, a board member with the Central Ontario Standardbred Association, and Glenn Secura, president of the Canadian Thoroughbred Horse Society. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul and Carol.
Hi there.
Thank you both for joining us. Ben, let's start with you. How did you feel when you read the emails just publicized as part of this suit?
Well, undoubtedly it was the disturbing situation, how it sort of put, we kind of all knew that it was not done properly, but the callousness and just the thoughtlessness that it was going to hurt the people in the industry. It's unfortunate that the problem is that, you know, the racetrack operators, you know, we as horse people did our share in that deal. And we sit here now as being the ones that are probably taking the whole brunt of this. And it's great to see that at least some breeders got together and are now going to put the government in the witness stand. And I hope they don't settle, because I can't wait to watch them squirm.
Glenn, your thoughts on this, your reaction?
Well, it certainly was a devastating decision when it was made in 2012, and we're still feeling the effects. The fall crop is down. The yearling sales are down. There's a lot of pessimism within the industry. So I think it's good to see what comes of this when it goes through the legal system. We're not where we used to be, and there are a lot of good people, hardworking people, and people not necessarily rich by any standard, and they've suffered and continue to suffer.
But this was so cold. The premier was told this will devastate the industry. You're going to have thousands of people unemployed. Animals put down, thousands. And the response was, so be it.
Now, did that, okay, I just, maybe both of you can react to that. You know, they said the 23,000 job losses, 27,000 dead horses. Do you know the numbers here? Do you know at the time how many horses, were there horses euthanized because of this?
I don't know whether I could comment on that. I don't know, certainly don't know of any specific cases, but, you know, it's the theory, of course, is once you take their economic usefulness away, then what becomes of them? You know, just like you would with a factory, if there's no need for the product anymore, then what becomes of the factory? So I think they were basing their estimates on things that had happened in, perhaps in Quebec and in other locations. I think the Ontario Horse people did a wonderful job with, you know, trying to explain the industry and the benefits of the industry and trying to cobble together an acceptable deal with government that would sustain us going forward.
Right, and you had Ben. I know that all of you worked with the government and with Kathleen Wynne, because it was Dalton McGuinty who was really the architect of this part, pulling the plug on the slots at racetrack with Dwight Duncan. They pulled the plug, and then you worked hard, and I think raised the level of understanding for many people in the province about what this meant to the province of Ontario with jobs and as a whole industry, because many people had no clue. They had no clue, but it almost seemed like you were a bit behind the eight ball at the time, and it really came out of the blue. So now you're actually working with the government. So I suppose it's kind of difficult to be really critical of them right now.
Well, in speaking to that, Carol, you know, again, I can understand Kathleen. She's trying to put a Band-Aid back on this. But and I'm sure the public would think that everything's fine and dandy in the horse world. But there's such a huge trickle effect to getting a horse prepped, ready, raced, raised, trained, raced, that the people that are touched are far, far outreaching than just the horse people involved here. There's a lot of people in this province that derive their income from horse racing, and the money that it goes into the treasury of this province is significant. It's been decimated, and those horse numbers and people and job losses, they can probably hold up to scrutiny. It's very difficult to put an exact number on them because we simply don't have the exact number, but it's easy to figure that, as Glenn alluded to, full crops down huge. Well, what happened to that mare then? You know, and I know myself, my staff is in half. And this can be said for almost everybody that I do business with on a day-to-day basis. So I, with all due respect to Kathleen Wynne trying to help us, and again, she is, but it's a Band-Aid situation.
Yeah, and her hands aren't clean. I mean, she's part of this gang that was responsible
for
this.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question she knew.
I think people have, like, they don't really understand. You were talking about foal crops, and it takes a long time. It takes, you know, you're going to have a mare in foal for almost a year. Then you're going to have a couple of years before you even get to the racetrack for the thoroughbred. So you invest years in this. And when people stopped breeding, when all of this was going on, you take a lot out of the industry. I've heard that there are a lot of races on the thoroughbred side that just aren't even filling anymore. Glenn, can you just speak to that for a moment?
Well, sure. It's a vicious cycle. So once you make the broodmare, so the mother, once you make the broodmare non-valuable, she goes out of production, and then fewer foals are born each year. And so it takes a little while to get through the system, but now the people at the racetrack are trying to write races that are appealing to the gambler. The more horses in the race, the more people that gamble. The more people that gamble, the bigger the cut for both industry and government. So now it gets to the point where the barns that used to have stall applications and people would be told, I'm sorry, we don't have a stall for you right now. You'll have to wait. To there's 400 or 500 empty stalls, and you're trying to put on a Broadway show with no actors. So that devastates, because then they have to cut racing opportunities, which means fewer opportunities for owners, trainers, breeders to get paid, and the downward spiral continues.
And this was so needless. There was no need for this at all. This was all politics. That's all it was.
Well, and Paul, and just talking to that again, you know, the people who got hurt the most were the horse people of Ontario, the people that are in the shed rows, training, driving, racing these horses. And we did our share. We invested our money. We held our end of the arrangement up. And it was a model situation that was was copied by other jurisdictions. That's how successful we felt we were doing. And the racetrack operators, well, that may be another story. But, you know, the Drummond Report was commissioned to look at it. It was not commissioned to blow this game up. It was commissioned to look at it, tweak it, massage it if need be, but certainly not kill the game. The working people of this province in the horse game certainly took it right on the chin. And I'm not sure if we'll ever get back to where we should be right now. We're racing for purses that are a third of the level that they should be, and the investment is going to be gone.
And maybe hope there's no settlement. I hope you get every penny you're suing for.
Well, these guys aren't involved. You two aren't involved in this.
Well, the industry, those in the industry that are suing, yes.
Well, I know Glenn is specifically, and David Heffering, a friend of mine, I spoke with him in Lexington. You know, the money that's going to be come out of this is almost, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of money made. But am I ever glad that it took the horse people to get the government on the hot seat to just show how callous and ignorant they are to a business like this, that they can simply say, political benefits only, to say, let's just throw a wedge between Tim and Andrea here. And so what if we blow a game up doing it? It's better off for us.
Well, listen, we thank you both very much for joining us this morning, putting in a little perspective for listeners that, you know, may have wondered what had happened back there. And now we're going to see. I'm sure there's going to be far more revelations. But thank you. Appreciate it this morning.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That's Ben Wallace, board member with the Central Ontario Standardbred Association, and Glenn Sekura, president of the Canadian Thoroughbred Horse Society.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how many people were left unemployed. We know it was a whole lot, and how many horses were lost or never came about because of this, but it did have a great impact.
And
it was devastating.
None of it had to happen. That's the point.
None
of it had to happen because it was a win-win for both sides. It doesn't make sense. It's 7:43 on your Saturday morning. We're the Motts.